Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Yes, it does begin right now. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli will join us shortly from Buffalo, New York, Orchard Park. Tonight's Thursday night football game.
That's a big game for both teams. Much like the Jaguars game in San Diego, you've got two teams without a win. So somebody's going to be leaving the house going 0-2. That's not good.
That ain't good, Coach. No.
No, and, you know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, with both football teams. Todd Bowles, and then Rex Ryan, obviously, because, you know, he has tendency to talk a very big game. And talks about, well, you know.
Come on.
Did you, by the way, did you see the clip that they've been running on ESPN with Rex Ryan?
About what? No. I don't watch TV logs.
I believe it was one of the first meetings, team meetings that he had, and he starts talking to his team about, and first of all, they had to bleep out a lot of things that he was saying, which is no surprise with Rex Ryan. But when he's talking to his team, he's talking about, you know, we want to do this year, and we're going to prove people wrong. And I've got my brother up there, and we're going to show how good of a coach he is. And I'm going, if I'm a player on that team, I'm sitting there going, well, why is this about you and your brother? You know, it's about team, right?
We, us.
Yeah, we. It's about
collective
the team.
Group.
And I saw that, and I was not surprised, let me say that. But I was going, and it was funny because on ESPN, they followed it up with one of the players, and I think it was Greg Jennings, who played for the Green Bay Packers, and they wanted to get his thoughts on what Rex Ryan said to his team. He goes, man, I love that. I'd love to be able to play for a guy like that. And I'm sitting there going, huh? Really? And I mean, I'd rather play for somebody wants to talk about we and not about me.
Yeah.
They
better start winning some football games. Yeah. It's going to be in Buffalo.
That's NBC now, right? Because, you know, for a long time it was NFL Network.
I think it's flip-flops some. I think it's CBS crew on it tonight because Tracy Wolfson's on the sidelines. I know that for sure. But there's some new. It's on Twitter tonight too. Like it's on different places.
Live on Twitter. Yeah. I didn't even know Twitter had that.
Yeah. So it's a whole. This is the first Thursday night color rush game and everything. So all that's tonight.
So they're not going to be wearing green jerseys though.
The red and the green. I think one team's wearing white tonight.
Okay, that's the Jets.
That's the Jets.
The green. That's like not the color to have color blindness with green grass,
right.
Artificial turf, whatever.
It was a problem last year, this game, because it was red and green and the whole thing. So we'll hear from Tony coming up. We'll break down that game coming up tonight. Let's start with the Jags. Chris Ivory back with the team today, not on the practice field. It's not sounding good for this week, but good to have him back around. I mean, that scared the bejeebers out of everybody, I think. Right?
Well, I think it shocked everybody, and including the coach staff, when you all of a sudden you go to bed Saturday night, you're ready to wake up the next day and have, you know, this – free agent running back that you've acquired and have a 1-2 punch in the backfield.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden then you couldn't do it. And, you know, I'm not trying to be negative towards Denard Robinson or to Corey Grant, but they're not Chris Ivory. And because you had to have TJ carry the bulk of the load on first and second down, you know, now you're not getting a fresh TJ Yeldon, and you're not getting TJ Yeldon when you're in third down package. You know, the perfect way that they were going to rotate these guys is that Chris and TJ shared first and second down snaps. TJ would be, for the most part, the third down back, but Chris Ivory has handled that as well.
Yeah.
And I know Denard in one protection was very soft.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, he kind of got blown up, you know. And well, there are people like, well, why don't they try Corey Grant? Let him do that. Well, after watching training camp, you know, Corey Grant was getting blown up too.
That's right.
You know, in protection. And that's why, you know, they like Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon so much.
Hmm. Let's try to get with Tony Baselli now in Buffalo, New York. What's up, Tone?
How we doing, guys?
Doing great. You ready for some football tonight, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah, we're high tech this week. We're actually no phone. I can hear you guys good and on the headsets and excited for multiple things. Excited for a little Thursday night football between the Bills and the Jets. And I'm actually more excited. I'm excited this week about this opportunity for this Jaguar team going to San Diego.
Yeah,
I think it's a great test / opportunity for a young team to rebound after a tough loss.
Yeah, we'll get to the Jets-Bills game coming up in the next segment. But let's move to the West Coast. Jags have not had any success, little success in the West Coast all time. 2-10 in the Pacific time zone. You can talk about the stats all day. This is a better football team. If you have good football players, you can go to the West Coast and you can go anywhere and play good football.
Well,
right?
let me say this. Good teams travel well.
That's
and,
right.
You know, 2-10 on the West Coast, the simple reality is that this team, you know, has not been great, you know. And so when you're not great, you're not going to go to the West Coast and be all of a sudden magically better.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, I know a lot of teams have different formulas for going to the West Coast. But, look, when you're a good football team, you can leave on Sunday morning. And leave early Sunday morning, show up, do a ball game, and play well. And that's the way it would work. If you're good, you can go on game day and play.
What do you make of all that,
Jeff,
Tony?
I mean, we talked about that last year when we were going to London. And, you know, all, throughout the years we've said, and you and I both agree, we've had the same conversation. When you go does not matter. How good you are and how you play is all that matters. And we traveled. I remember when, Jeff, you and I played for the Jaguars. We went on a Friday one time. We lost. Every other time when we were playing on the West Coast, we went the day before and won. I don't think it matters one bit. I just think, you know, it's about going out there and, there's arguments about your clock and the biorhythms and all this other nonsense, in my opinion. I'm sure there's some science to it. But when you line up on, you know, Sunday at 1 o'clock, whether you're on the East Coast, West Coast, or whatever time zone you're in, you know, if you're a pro, you're going to be ready to play, and you go out and get your job done.
Hey, by the way, Tony, you need to come in for a new profile picture. Because, you know, since the radio show is now also being on Jaguars.com, they still have the picture of you when you weighed about 350.
Oh, is it my fat guy picture?
Yeah, we need to get an updated photo of you. So when you're calling in on Thursday night via the phone line, we can get a little better picture
of you.
You
know what? We are keeping that photo no matter what. How about
that?
There it is. Look at
it. It makes JP feel better.
Oh, yeah. That's Big Bo right there.
Wow. He's 350 all day long right there.
But
I'll tell you what, I got a little bit of trouble just a little. They have this Buffalo pizza up here.
Oh.
I might have had a few slices.
No, wait a minute. I got to know. When did you get into Buffalo?
I didn't get to the Anchor Bar. I didn't get into midnight last night.
No wings.
I actually worked all day today getting ready for all the football games I have this week. So no time for the Anchor Bar.
That's a good thing because I can tell you, folks, when we –
I've seen it firsthand.
I've never seen anybody eat like that.
That 2012 trip to the Anchor Bar,
oh my goodness.
Wow. It's seared in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
how many pizzas – I mean, we had pizza, we had wings, we had onion
we
rings.
Had everything.
And
yeah.
We had everything. It was all good.
Yeah, we'd like the menu, please. No, not the menu. We want the whole menu, I think is what we wanted.
It was outstanding.
This Jaguars team going out west, you got to beat Phillip Rivers somehow at some point. He's 5-1 against the Jags all time, and he's dominated the Jaguars all time. How much different is this than Rodgers last week, Tone?
It's different because he's going to be in one spot, and he's not going to move. And it's different. He is better at getting rid of the ball quicker than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers will hold it a little bit because he's so confident and his ability to escape and extend plays. Phillip Rivers is one of the best. Him, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. I mean, all in the same category of pre-snap read, getting his team into the best possible play and making a decision before a rush can get there. He's outstanding. Now, I think what's going to be different for this Jaguar team, if they can play the way they did in the secondary last against Green Bay this coming week in San Diego, it'll be a much different story in my opinion. I have not seen our secondary probably since the days of when Machine Mathis was in his heyday in that group, when 07 I think it was, play that type of coverage and stick to guys the way that our secondary did against the Green Bay Packers. And that's what you have to do because that ball is coming out quick and it's going to be he's going to try to stick it in there and let his guys go run after catch. But if you have good coverage, You can slow him down, and if you can make him hold it, you know right where he is, and that offensive line is just okay.
Well, let me make one correction. You said that he's going to be where you know he's or where you expect him to be. He's going to be in the same spot. He's going to be in the same area, you know, because Philip Rivers, as
good,
far as
– Yes, that's a good point, yes.
The pocket presence that he has and how he can extend the play within the pocket is pretty unique. But his decision-making, Tony is dead on, his decision-making is unbelievable. And went back and watched the film from last year's San Diego Chargers game. And Tony, you probably haven't had a chance to do that with the Thursday night game, but I'm telling you, go back and watch it, because when you watch the coverage in the Jaguars secondary – and then you compare that to what we saw last week against the Green Bay Packers, it's night and day different.
Yeah, I remember, Jeff, guys running wide open last year.
Oh, and now all of a sudden Phillip Rivers doesn't have Keenan Allen. You know, in the film last year, they didn't have Keenan Allen in that game for some reason. I don't remember exactly what it was. But Dontrell Inman ended up stepping in for him in the game last year, and Inman had a very good game. Very good game. But, you know, I think everybody on the Packers offense had a pretty good game against the Jaguars in that game.
The Chargers were dominant. Now, Jeff, only because as you being there, what are your thoughts on how they handle Gates? Because Gates has killed the Jaguars. It's killed us over the last couple of years. And we saw Aaron Rodgers go after Cyprian. And I thought he had a better game than he got credit for, because I thought that was that one PI, outside of the missed tackle, which he can't do, I thought his coverage was better than previous years. But that's still a matchup that worries me, because Gates is one of the craftiest. Even though he doesn't run like he once did, he still has a knack for getting open.
Well, the last week, to go back to Cyprian's performance last week, there was one spot time where he kind of got out of the deep hole on that one throw that Aaron Rodgers made, Randall Cobb. You know, so he wasn't perfect, but you expect Cyprian to be a little bit better. But I do not expect Cyprian to play man against Gates like he did last year. I would be very surprised. Now, if he's playing man, he's got to have some help. It's got to be bracket coverage with somebody else. But I would not be surprised. We saw in training camp to where Jalen Ramsey was matched up against Julius Thomas. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, heck, you know, Jalen's big, tall, long, can run. And with Gates, you don't need great speed. You just need to stick to the guy, because as we were talking on the Gus Bradley show, he plays the game like a power forward, where he's leaning against people.
Yeah, he'll nudge you off and then get a little space is all he needs to make a catch. A veteran nudge there for sure. Tony Boselli with us in Buffalo, New York. You know, the pass rush last week, guys, was, hey, let's keep Aaron Rodgers in the pocket. Don't let him get loose. And you didn't really see a lot of that up the field thing. Does that change this week? Do you see the full-out pass rush that we're going to see?
Well, it's not that you just didn't see the upfield stuff. You didn't see as many games. And when I talk about games, is the ETs and TEs, meaning the ends go inside, tackles loop outside, or vice versa.
Got it.
Because they were so concerned about keeping him in the pocket, like you said, JP.
Yeah.
I think you know what you do this week? You let it go. You say, listen, there's at some level third and long, rush wherever the heck you want and just get to the quarterback. Because if he breaks contain – you know, Jeff and I could run down Phillip Rivers. He does not move
but Tony,
well.
You know, last year he had, I think it was a third down scramble, a fourth down scramble.
Yeah, that was just what Jeff. But last year part of the problem was there was everyone's open. I mean, there was a lot of issues. I just think this team's so much faster.
I agree.
You have to let it go. You have to let it go. And if Phillip Rivers beats you with his legs, then it's just not your day. Because he can't run.
Well, and you didn't have
– he's a quarterback, but he can't run.
And you remember last year there was no Yannick Ngakoue,
yep.
Dante Fowler
no Dante
on the
Fowler.
Field. You know, so there wasn't as much speed as what Phillip Rivers is going to see this year.
We're going to come back and break down the Jags and the Chargers a little more, and the Jets and the Bills. That's where Tony Boselli
hey, JP,
is.
Hey, I got a it's something ironic is happening tonight here in Buffalo, and I'll share that with everybody afterwards.
Ironic. Mm. Alanis Morissette is wondering what you're going to talk about. We'll come back.
There you go.
Namaste, Jags fans. Yoga Day at Everbank Field, Saturday, September 17th at 8 a.m. Join the Jags for a one-of-a-kind yoga experience at the 50. Register today at jaguars.com/yoga. Irony with Boselli after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Yeah, I think it's cool to kind of see how much, you know, as a team we've grown, obviously individually, but I think as a team how much we've grown really in the over 3 years that we're now going to be playing them. I think it's cool. I think it's cool to kind of sit there and go through schematically, you know, how we're going to attack them, what ways are we going to try and be different this year, you know, what are we going to take from last year that, you know, we felt worked well and stuff like that.
There's Blake Bortles, your quarterback, speaking earlier this week about playing San Diego again. Remember, that was the site of his first ever start in the league.
Oh, I remember
it now. A couple years ago.
And, yeah. And there was nothing that was on schedule happening in his level of play. I mean, that was like backyard football. Yeah. And but, I mean, he had some moments in that game that you went, oh, my. Oh, my. Chad Henne can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there was a little reminiscing of that. It's interesting because you don't really play another division this much. It seems like the Jags have had the Chargers.
It's like a division opponent.
It almost is.
And under Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, they've played every year. And for however that, you know, works out and schedule-wise and where you finish. But, you know, I think it's good, though, you know, because, you know, every year is kind of a measuring stick. And if you look back at the scores of between the Jaguars and the Chargers, the Jaguars have incrementally gotten better. And for the next step, if you look at the scores, is a win.
Yeah. JP Shatter.
Well, you know what it tells you about the Chargers? They haven't been very good the last few years either.
No, they have not.
Yeah.
That's why we play each other. Yeah. I mean, we finish at the same spot in the division.
Well, and I was disappointed, though. I was hoping that this would be the debut of Joey Bosa. And it looks like he's not going to play. They had a roster exemption for him last week, so they knew that he wasn't going to play last week against Kansas City. And he did not practice yesterday with a hamstring. I don't know what his status was for today, but what do you got,
did
JP?
Not practice.
Did not practice, so we're not going to see Joey Bosa this week.
No, he ain't playing. Come on. No chance.
Yeah,
I wanted to see him.
On.
I wanted to see him.
I think a lot of people out there want to see him.
I'm indifferent. I don't care. I just want to win. I don't care who they roll out there.
We started this segment.
I'll be honest with you.
That's true, yeah. We started the segment with Blake Bortles. What is an improved week for him this week, guys?
Well, I think what's the improvement? I thought the accuracy was off a little bit at times. Early. I thought he overcame it. And not knowing exactly, you know, whether this is from the sidelines or this was his decision at the line, watching the tape, and I thought the same thing during the game, it seemed like they – and, Jeff, I'd like to hear your opinion on this. It seemed like to me they checked into runs right into blitzes.
Yes.
That Blake was at the line of scrimmage changing the play, and we'd be sitting there in the booth and say, okay, he's going to check into something to get a better play, and all of a sudden they're running into a blitz.
And you could see that it was on him because of his reaction immediately. You know, so you could tell that he was, you know, frustrated that, oh, man, I blew that one.
So better decisions at the line of scrimmage of choosing to play. I think it's part of the maturation and growth process. But, you know, listen, after an early rough start with the interception that was probably on both him and Marquise, could have been a better ball, and it was a ball that Marquise should have caught. I thought he came back, had poise. I mean, he threw for 330 yards. The run game was not going very well, and he helped get this team in a position to have a chance to win it. And so I thought that was good. He just needs to continue to grow. And his growth right now is in the decision-making, whether it's pre-snap or post-snap.
Tony, I wanted to bring this up on the Gus show, but I did not. Tomorrow I'm going to show the two routes, and I know you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about, the two routes by Allen Hurns. I'm going to be showing it on Film Room Friday.
I think I remember one, just the way you're saying it.
Tony, you remember those plays, the routes by Allen Hurns, where he just lost the defensive back on those two routes? Unbelievable moves.
The double moves, one was a double move. One was just an amazing setup. I mean, he faked to the outside and almost broke the ankles of the defensive back and then broke back to the middle of the field, and he had a five-yard window, which in the NFL is like 30. And he was outstanding, in my opinion, Jeff. I thought he played one heck of a game.
They played really well. I wish he got – there was one play where they had a bunch formation to the right, and I think he was supposed to block Clay Matthews. It didn't work out so good. Another one he was supposed to block, well, Nick Perry. You know, but that's a tall order.
Jeff, that's and listen, in my opinion, that's a bad play design if you're asking Allen Hurns to block Clay Matthews one-on-one. I mean, I just don't think you call that play.
Well, you just want to at least get, have him get in the way for a little bit anyway. Yeah. You know, I mean, trip him up, get into his legs.
Something, but that was doomed from the start.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
All right, Tony, you got the Jets and the Bills. You were talking about irony before we left for break. What do you got? Ironic.
So, and JP, you weren't around, but 1996, one of the biggest moments in our franchise was the win up here in Buffalo, right, Jeff?
That's right.
And one of the biggest moments of my career was that day as well, because it was on the national stage, and I was blocking at that time the best defensive player in the NFL, defensive player of the year that year, and multiple times.
Bruce Smith.
And so I get up here and get to the stadium. Tonight they are retiring Bruce Smith's number, and there's a huge ceremony for Bruce. Half the night's about Bruce. All the guys we played in that 96 game are here. And I just thought, how ironic, coming up here on a Thursday night to do this game, and it's the night that for our franchise and for me personally was a big day, and against the guy that big day happened.
Are they going to run the ISO of you blocking him all night on the big screen?
I was wondering if the Bruce wanted me to come down there and talk and, you know, introduce him.
I don't think they go over
so
well.
I didn't get the invite. I was shocked.
Lost in the mail, I guess.
He was one of the most phenomenal players that I ever got to watch, you know, because I was playing same time, same division there for a while as Bruce Smith. So watched a lot of film of Bruce Smith, and some of the things that he used to be able to do athletically were just unbelievable. I mean, truly
for
unbelievable.
For the younger people listening to us that love football now, it was what J.J. Watt does today. That's how disruptive Bruce Smith was.
Yeah, but a different, just different style.
Different style, but yeah. I'm just talking about a disruptiveness. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he did to offenses. Mm.
I just remember, Tony, and you'll get a kick out of this, Jeff Criswell was our left tackle in New York. And I don't know what it was. We used to call it the Buffalo Bills flu. But every week that we would get ready to be playing the Buffalo Bills, all of a sudden Jeff Criswell, my hamstring was hurting, or my shoulder was hurting. And sometimes he didn't play, and sometimes he played, but it was like he needed to have the built-in excuse for the results of the game on Sunday.
I'll tell you.
The way he was.
I had a Bruce Smith stomach ache for about an hour and a half, 2 hours before we kicked off that day.
I bet.
I'll tell you that much right now. I was one nervous cat coming out of that stadium, and once you start playing, you get out there, you realize, hey, this is just football. Let's go play.
I remember going when I was in high school, you know, taking college visits, and I took a visit down to Virginia Tech. And when I went down there, I actually met Bruce Smith at that time, and that was, you know, 1985, which I think that's the year that he got drafted first overall by the Buffalo Bills, and got to meet Bruce Smith at that time, and he was in a very – very imposing figure at that time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay, Tony, is it too early for must wins for Rex Ryan?
No. Yes and no. Yeah, no, because of the situation the Bills find themselves in the division, and frankly, I don't think they're that good a football team. I mean, watching the tape of both these teams of their games last week, I was highly impressed with the Jets. The Jets are a good football team, and they should have beat the Bengals. They rushed for 152. They controlled the line of scrimmage. The Jets' offensive line played as well as an offensive line I've seen in a while. Now, their quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, was not very good, and that's why they lost. The defense was dominant with 7 sacks. And then I turn on the Buffalo tape, and it was painful to watch. Tyrod Taylor looks at one guy, and if he's not there, he takes off and runs. They couldn't block people, couldn't run the ball, had 160 yards of total offense. Defensively, they're okay, but they're missing so many guys. I just don't see how Buffalo has a successful year, and I don't see Rex Ryan being the coach next year unless there's a dramatic change and turnaround of the play that from week one to week two.
All right, so I got a question for you because I haven't watched the tape. What happened to Darrell Revis?
You know, it wasn't as bad as – I mean, number one, he's playing against A.J. Green, and they put him out on an island a couple times.
Yeah, but usually he's up for that kind of a matchup.
Yeah, but A.J. Green's about 7 years younger and is faster than Darrell Revis right now. And if you're going to have no safety over the top and he runs a post with no center field help, you're going to have – I mean, he just ran by him. And, you know, some other stuff. There were some outs and some stuff he did, but a couple of the big plays were on a wide receiver screen that he broke. And if you listen to the Jets' secondary, now maybe they're covering for Darrell, but Corey Graham, their safety, said, listen, it wasn't Darrell Revis. We had a bunch of busts in the secondary, and they did. They had some guys out of position on the back half that opened up some holes for A.J. Green and the entire Bengals passing game. So I thought when I was going to turn on the tape, Jeff, it was going to be like, oh, my gosh, that's embarrassing. It wasn't typical Darrell Revis, but I didn't walk away from watching that tape saying, he's done, he can't play.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing against A.J. Green, and A.J. won a couple of the big matchups.
Well, last year when we watched a little bit of Darrell Revis, we thought he had taken a step back.
Well, and he has. He's old. I mean, he's old for a football player, and he's old for a corner. But is he still, you know, in the upper half of – corners in this league? Yeah, because he's so smart. He's so smart. He understands right where to be. And, you know, I thought it was a little bit overplayed, but that's what happens when you're the best at your position for as long as Darrell Revis was. When that fall off happens, people start talking, and I think they make a big deal of it because everyone isn't used to seeing it, and they're shocked because for so long we saw Darrell Revis go chase the best receiver and shut him down. And that's just not the case anymore. He's not at that point of his career.
Tony, it sounds like you have the Jets tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, technically, you know, according to all the big media people, you're not supposed to pick a game.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you out there. I forgot you're a big national radio star now. That's right.
Oh, I don't care. I mean, what does it matter? Me saying I think the Jets are going to win, is that going to change one thing that happens on the field or the way I call the game?
No,
who cares? But if I was picking, damn, I'd be picking the Jets. I mean, I just think they're a better football team. I think the Jets, if they can get any, you know, just above average quarterback play out of Ryan Fitzpatrick, they'll be a playoff team. I mean, they are a – Jeff, if you ever get a chance, just even for 10 minutes, go turn on the tape and watch that defensive front play. Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson
are – really good.
They are unreal. I mean, they – absolutely kicked the you-know-what out of that offensive line of the Bengals. And it was, I mean, men among boys at times. They are a really talented front. And with, you know, David Harris and the rest of that linebacking corps, they're a good unit.
All right, so I got a question for you because you mentioned about how well the Jets ran the football. They signed Matt Forte in the offseason with the Chicago Bears. Was he the main running back last week, or did somebody else carry some load?
No, it was him and Bilal Powell. Both of them ran the ball. Matt Forte, though, was the featured back, and he had a really big day. They gave him 22 rushes. He had 96 yards, you know, over 4 yards a carry, 5 receptions for 59 yards. I mean, I know, you know, he's at that 30-year age where running backs are supposed to fall off. It didn't look like it. Now, a lot of the credit goes to that offensive line. They ran the outside zone play that the Jaguars like to run and struggled to run against the Bengals in the preseason, and they gashed them. And Matt Forte was running through some really nice holes, and we all know how good a back he is out of the backfield as a receiver. And then Bilal Powell also. Bilal Powell only had 4 rushes, but for 40 yards, averaged 10 yards a carry. So the two of them went to work and did a nice job.
Tony Boselli, Orchard Park, New York, home of the Buffalo Bills. Tonight it's Thursday Night Football on Westwood One, the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. Have a great call tonight, Tony. And tell Bruce Smith hello.
I will. Now, you guys leave tomorrow, right?
Yes, we do.
So I will see you Saturday. I got a big high school game Friday night, so I won't be on the team playing. But I'll get there late Saturday night. I got to figure out how I can watch that Florida State game Saturday and then catch a flight out to San Diego.
All right. Well, good luck Friday night.
All right, boys. I'll see you soon.
There he is, Tony Boselli in New York tonight.
That's a pretty cool place to have a night game, Orchard Park.
I bet they've been at it for a long time today in the park.
Oh, I'm sure they have. Back in their heyday, you know, Marv Levy, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, you know, Andre Reed, all that. I mean, it was when they went to four Super Bowls, you know, that's when I was going there to play as a member of the Jets. And I'm going to tell you now, when you pulled in with the buses, you know, for a 1 o'clock kick and it was 9 a.m., the smokers and everything else had been going since daylight and well before. And then on the way out, they didn't leave. They were still there. The only difference was is that they were pelting you with snowballs on your way out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's real nice.
Oh, yeah.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. We'll take a look at the injury report for the Jags coming up. A little more Jags Chargers talk as well. We'll go around the league and pick some games this weekend with Logs.
I think I was pretty good last week.
Were you?
Yeah.
I didn't keep score.
I don't think I missed one.
You're undefeated.
Yeah, we can roll tape.
We might after this.
I think I was undefeated last week.
It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Ah, Logs, get ready. The quest to catch them all continues. Be a part of the next Pokemon Safari here at Everbank Field. Sunday, September 25th, the Jags host the Ravens that day. Register today at jaguars.com/Pokemon. What are you looking at?
I'm trying to catch a Pokemon. Stay right there.
There's no Pokemon over here. Put your phone
there's one
down,
right
man.
On your head. Sit still.
That's not a Pokemon.
Yeah, it is.
No. If you're watching us on jaguars.com, he's catching him here in the studio somehow.
Yeah, I gave it up. I gave
oh,
it up.
Oh, you tried it for a while, huh?
No.
My
son did it for
that.
A little while.
I bet you. I'm surprised. You know, you're probably one of those closet players. I don't play Pokemon. But you really play Pokemon. Apparently, there's some thing right outside. Like, the Jaguar statue outside is something on Pokemon. Like, it's a big deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you'll on the way out tonight, you can
I can catch it?
Pokey Jim is what Max Hockman, our video producer, says.
What?
Pokey Jim or something.
Pokey Jim? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like where they congregate.
Yeah. See, don't act like you don't know.
No, I do. I do. Like I said, I did it with my son for a while, and then he quit, so I quit.
Little known fact, Cinderic March is a big Pokemon player.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if he wants that out there, but it's too late.
It's kind of scary. You know, because people, they're staring at their phone, and they're walking around, they're running into walls.
Yeah, I know. Traffic.
Not paying attention, you know, the cars crossing the street.
Well, hopefully on the Pokemon Safari at Everbank, there won't be traffic.
Foot in an area there's no moving vehicles, hey, have at it.
Let's take a look at the injury report that came out today. Jalen Ramsey and Julius Thomas again full, but they're both listed because of the ankle issues after the game. Nothing major. Both should be good to go this week. Prince Amukamara has not practiced this week with a hamstring issue.
Yeah, we had him on Jaguars All Access.
That's right, Monday night.
Well, Tuesday.
No, Tuesday night. I was there.
Because Monday night doubleheader. Yeah, you were there and having a few beers.
No, I had one.
Oh.
And a meatball hoagie. Well, okay.
Was it good?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, that place is really good, by the way.
Yeah. Mellow Mushroom.
Really good food.
Yeah.
But we had him on and, you know, didn't know that the next day he was not going to practice or the day after that, which is today. But if he cannot go, fortunately you have a little bit of a weekend wide receiver and core for the San Diego Chargers. I mean, if you remember going all the way back to training camp, the San Diego Chargers were constantly searching for another wide receiver. I mean, this goes back all the way to, you know, what, July? When they were just bringing guys in, trying to work them out and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they still haven't solved that. And the guy that has started opposite of Keenan Allen, which is Travis Benjamin, I think in the game this past week, you know, his numbers weren't very spectacular. I mean, here they are. Travis Benjamin had 7 catches for 32 yards. I mean, 4.6 yards a catch for a wide receiver.
That ain't good.
No, I mean, he's one of the little small, shifty type of guys. He's 5'10", you know, maybe a 175 when he's wet. You know, but Dontrell, like I said with Tony earlier, Dontrell Inman, third-year player out of Virginia, last year against the Jaguars had a very productive day. So he's capable, but he's not Keenan Allen, not anywhere in the same neighborhood. And then once you get past Dontrell Inman, I mean, Tyrell Williams or Isaiah Burst, I don't know anything about these guys, you know, and hopefully I won't know anything more about them after this week.
Let's not find out.
Yeah.
How about that?
But they're going to depend on the running backs and Antonio Gates. And if there were ever a game that you would like to have, you know, your super fast linebackers all ready to go, you know, and I'm saying Miles Jack, but Miles Jack is not ready yet.
Could you? Do you think so? Do you think that?
Or, I don't know if he's ready.
Could you throw him out there?
You know what? I'm not doing it until he's ready. And the reason I say that is watching the game in which he played extensively, which is the Atlanta Falcons game when he played Will. Everything that he did on the snap was just a little slow.
Okay.
Now, when he got there, it looked good. But you get into a game against Aaron Rodgers, Phillip Rivers, and you're a step slow initially, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over.
Yeah. Half step, a false step somewhere, you're done.
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. Now, you know, maybe against another quarterback, you know, Tyrod Taylor or, you know, Joe Flacco. Joe, I don't think he's a real quick decision maker, but he's got a beautiful deep ball, you know, maybe against a Flacco type, you know. So, but, you know, and I brought this up with Gus's show, is that a lot of people ask me, when's he going to play? And I said, look, and I told people, I said, look, it's not about Miles Jack. You know, Miles Jack will be put on the field when Miles Jack is ready to make them better. Until then, he won't play. So it's on Miles Jack. When can he help make them better? When can he be better than somebody else? We'll see when that happens. Yeah.
A few other names on the report today. Chris Ivory with a general medical issue back in the building. Has not practiced this week. Not looking good for this Sunday. Dante Fowler Jr. illness. Did not practice today, but sounds like he should be good for this Sunday. And Jeremy Parnell limited yesterday, but did not practice today with a groin injury. Right tackle.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a concern. If he does not play, Patrick Omame, I would expect, would get the start at right tackle. He actually played pretty well there at right tackle in the preseason. You don't want to miss Parnell. I mean, you'd like to have him out there, but in the event that he can't go, you know. And the question is that, okay, if all of a sudden Parnell can't go, you really don't have another tackle on the roster. You know, so my question would be, I mean, obviously you would have Shatley and then Chris Reed up. So Shatley or Chris Reed, you know, if something were to happen there, you know,
one out there,
or left
boys.
Tackle, well, I mean, Luke Jokel could kick out. But, you know, it'd be interesting if all of a sudden Parnell couldn't go and then Omame gets the start at right tackle. And then let's say something happens to Omame.
Oh, then you got to change everything up, right?
I mean,
or do you weaken the other
side? I think you just leave everybody else, and then you just go, you know what, we're going to start keeping Mercedes in and pass protection on the right side and put Chris Reed in there, and we'll just roll with it.
Let's not go there, okay?
Yeah.
This glass is half full over
here. I am doing lines. Hypotheticals. I always say I don't deal in hypotheticals.
I mean, it's Thursday night, for goodness
sake. Well, but I mean, as a coach, you know, as a coach, you have to think about those things. I mean, that's what the coaching staff probably has to think about. You know, if we go into game day and we don't have Jeremy Parnell, you know, if we get injuries, where are we going to play people?
Yeah.
You know? Remember back in training camp, we saw A.J. Cann getting snaps at right tackle?
Just in case.
We saw people getting all over the place. I mean, that's the reason why. Yeah. My hypothetical there.
On the other side, Chargers' Jason Verrett, calf injury, limited yesterday, did not practice today. Interesting.
If they don't have him, that's a big loss for them.
Because he, like Gus said on his show earlier, he follows receivers around.
Well, Todd Walsh, I mean, just flat out said he is an elite player. And when a coach comes out and talks about an opposing player and refers to him as elite, that's pretty strong stuff.
Yeah. So there you have it. And then Bose with a hamstring and everything else is pretty normal. So there you have it, the injury report for the Jaguars and the Chargers. And tomorrow is relatively light. The team will work out tomorrow, and then they'll hop on the plane tomorrow afternoon and head across country. You ready to pick some games?
I'm ready.
We'll come back and pick some games. And maybe you can continue your undefeated streak.
I don't know if I'm undefeated, but I think I did pretty well. So I know I did well.
You're backing off of that.
I know,
came on strong.
I know that I did well in fantasy.
Oh, we're not doing that tonight. That's for Sunday.
Well, maybe you ought to start tonight, and you'll do better maybe on Sunday.
Wow. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. We heard from Tony Boselli earlier tonight in Buffalo. He's working Westwood One Thursday night games this year. We'll have him each and every week from the broadcast booth, the first half of this program. The last half is just us, Jeff.
I'm okay with that.
I'm good with that, too.
I'm okay with that, but it's fun talking to Tony and kind of getting a primer for the Thursday night game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, because, to be honest with you, there's 16 games in the National Football League or whatever. However, sometimes there's not with bye or whatever. You know, so you don't get to keep up with all the teams. And so I love getting my little primer from Tony prior to going home and then obviously going to have the game on and watch a little bit of it. And so to get a little bit of a background prior to the game is nice. I like it.
I like it, too. So are you ready to – now, did we decide if you're undefeated last week or not? I think you're not. I'm going to guess no.
Well –
it's hard to go undefeated, man. I mean,
I probably wasn't, but I think that
you
I was very close.
And said I was undefeated, and then you were like, "I'm going to hedge the bet."
I think I was very close to being spot on last week.
The archive is on Jaguars.com. Who wants to go score this?
I can tell you the one game that I missed. It was the Raiders game.
Ah,
I took New Orleans,
and they went for two and got you.
Yep,
Jack Del Rio comes to get you. Again.
Remember, I made a comment. I'm not picking Jack.
Yeah, I do remember that. All right, let's go around the National Football League in week two. Let's start with tonight's game, the Jets and the Bills, both teams looking for their first win. What do you got?
I'm taking the Jets.
Picking with your heart, are you?
No, I'm not picking with my heart. I'm picking with my brain because, I mean, Tony talked about it, about Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, Leonard Williams. I mean, those guys are unbelievably talented up front. Very, very talented. And if you remember now, a couple years ago, the Buffalo Bills had all these issues with their offensive line. I know they had their left tackle was hurt this week with a little bit of a question mark. The quarterback is a run-first quarterback. And the only way to beat the Jets, I think, is to be able to be a good quarterback, and he's just not that yet. He's a great athlete. He's playing the quarterback position.
All right, let's go to Sunday. The Blaine train makes a stop in Charlotte against the Panthers.
Yeah, and they played unbelievable defense from what I hear. I did not watch it because that was the late game of the Monday night doubleheader, and I'm not staying up past 10:30. I'm just not going to do it. And
times have changed, Lug.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's not like this. The Rams are, you know, the L.A. Rams are a great football team, and you should give all the props to the San Francisco 49ers defense. To me, Carolina's not going to go 0-2 to start the season. Carolina's going to win that.
There you go. Carolina at home.
How come you don't pick them with me? I mean, you're more than
– oh, okay.
Who do you think? Are you agreeing?
I think I agree with that. Yeah, Panthers at home. First home game of the year for them, coming off a loss.
I want to hear what your picks are, too, so that when you get wrong, I can bring it up next
week. All right, so Ravens at Browns. I'll take the Ravens.
I mean – Is that not karma to the Browns, what happened to them week one? You know, you face the team that you gave up the pick to, and you go there, he beats you, and the quarterback that you said is going to be your quarterback for the season gets hurt.
Shoulder, yeah. How about that?
Because he won't slide.
Yeah.
And he claims that, you know, remember, I don't know if you remember reading in training camp about how Hugh Jackson was – on RG3 about sliding and protecting himself. And what does he do the first game? The same old things he's always done.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Okay, so we both have the Ravens. The Titans at the Lions.
I think that's going to be a pretty good football game.
Yeah. Titans, weren't they up for a while and then blew the
lead? They were.
Yeah.
They were up early. And I believe they had a turnover. And Detroit was able to kind of storm back.
I'm going to go Titans on this one. Exotic smash mouth on the road.
I'm going the other way.
Oh, you're going Leone's. Okay.
Yep. I'm going to take Matthew Stafford. Even though they have lost Calvin Johnson, from everything that I have read, I did not watch the film, that the wide receivers that have stepped up in his place have done a really good job. And I'm a big fan of Jim Caldwell. I think I've said that before.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of his. I think he is a very good head coach. I think he's exactly – I'm a big fan of Todd Bowles, too. I think both coaches were put in the perfect situation because they're a calming influence with teams to where there was a lot of noise. And I like them.
Chiefs at the Texans. Good game.
Yeah.
The Chiefs rallied from 21 down last week.
The Texans won last week, you know.
They did.
Ran the ball pretty well. Boy, that's a tough one now. I think that's a pick'em game. Who's home? Houston?
Houston, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Houston.
I'm going with the Chiefs. They're hot right now. They're coming off the big comeback win. The defense is going to roll.
No, there's nothing wrong with that pick, JP. I mean, like I said, that's a pick'em game.
I know, because I picked it.
Yeah. I'm just picking the home
team. There's nothing wrong with it. I picked the Chiefs. Dolphins at Patriots.
You know, the Dolphins beat the Patriots last year down stretch now. And they lost what? They lost home field because of that win that Miami got. Miami played well against Seattle. I mean, they had that game. They had it.
Absolutely, they had it.
They had it. That defense played extremely well, but gave up the drive late.
You're going to pick against the Patriots?
I'm taking Miami.
Are you really?
I'm taking Miami.
Against Garoppolo. I'm with you on that. Even with Garoppolo, I'm going Patriots at home.
You're taking?
Patriots at home.
Okay.
First home game for them.
Okay.
Yeah. They're going to have the big Tom Brady banner up and everything.
Well, they took it down.
Did they take it down?
Yeah, they took the one down that Sean Payton had tweeted out.
Oh.
They took it down.
Oh, well, I might change my pick then here in a minute.
It was a big, tall
it
banner.
It was huge, yeah.
That was like on the tower.
Yeah, where the flame thing
there
was,
at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
They had it up all preseason, and Jonathan Kraft said that they're going to take it down, and they will put it back up, I'm sure, at some point, but they took it down.
Okay. Saints at the Giants.
I'm taking the Saints.
They should have won last week.
I mean, Drew Brees got me the victory in fantasy. I may pick him again.
You might, huh? I'm going Saints, too, in New York. Against
on the road,
the
even.
Yep. Good matchup, AFC North. Bengals at Steelers.
The league has already made some conversations about that, or should I say made some statements about that, that they will be on high alert. That's the game last year. You remember where the sideline issue happened.
Yeah.
Coaches were on the field, players got pushed. I mean, there was all kinds of things going on. A lot of new rules changes because of that game.
Yep.
But I think that it's going to be it won't get out of line. I don't think it will
get
out
of line. Who are
you
picking, Logs? That's what we want to know.
I'm taking
– all this talk.
Where's it at?
Steelers in Pittsburgh. I'm going Steelers at home, man.
I want to take Cincinnati.
Okay, all right. We got to get through the rest of these pretty quick. We've got a couple minutes left here. So Cowboys at Redskins.
Boy, as bad as Redskins look, I'm taking the Cowboys.
We're total opposites right here. I'm going Redskins at home.
Okay.
Bucks at Cardinals. Cardinals bounce back for me.
I'm taking the Bucks.
Okay. You just want to go opposite the rest of the way?
I might. I just might.
Seahawks at Rams.
Seahawks.
Yeah, all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Colts at Broncos. I got Broncos.
Broncos.
Defense, pass rush.
Broncos.
They're going to kill
Broncos.
Life. Yep. Falcons at Raiders.
Taking the Raiders.
Yep, yep. We're both in agreement there. Packers at Vikings. Good game. Opening up the dome for the first time.
And then supposedly there's going to be a new quarterback at the helm for the Vikings this week.
So I'm going Packers.
I'm taking Packers.
Yep. And then Eagles-Bears Monday night. Quickly.
Bears.
The Bears. Jags and Chargers. Do they get it done in San Diego this week, Jeff?
I think they do. I think this is going to be a great football game, and the Jaguars are going to win, and it's going to be a great trip home. You don't want to start out 0-2.
Nope. It'll be a 1-1 Jags team hopefully coming back. Well done for Jeff Loggeman, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, Tony Baselli. I'm JP Shadrick. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.